Verse 19, it was added because of transgressions. In other words, that transgressions might be recognized as such and thus increased. When sin, death, and the wrath of God are revealed to a person by the law, he grows impatient, complains against God, and rebels. Before that, he was a very holy man. He worshipped and praised God. He bowed his knees before God and gave thanks, like the Pharisee. But now that sin and death are revealed to him by the law, he wishes there were no God. The law inspires hatred of God. Thus, sin is not only revealed by the law, sin is actually increased and magnified by the law. The law is a mirror to show a person what he is like, a sinner who is guilty of death and worthy of everlasting punishment. What is this bruising and beating by the hand of the law to accomplish? This, that we may find the way to grace. The law is an usher to lead the way to grace. God is the God of the humble, the miserable, the afflicted. It is his nature to exalt the humble, to comfort the sorrowing, to heal the brokenhearted, to justify the sinners, and to save the condemned. The fatuous idea that a person can be holy by himself denies God the pleasure of saving sinners. God must therefore first take the sledgehammer of the law in his fists and smash the beast of self-righteousness and its brood of self-confidence, self-wisdom, self-righteousness, and self-help. When the conscience has been thoroughly frightened by the law, it welcomes the gospel of grace with its message of a Savior who came into the world not to break the bruised reed, nor to quench the smoking flax, but to preach glad tidings to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, and to grant forgiveness of sins to all the captives. Man's folly, however, is so prodigious that instead of embracing the message of grace with its guarantee of the forgiveness of sin for Christ's sake, man finds himself more laws to satisfy his conscience. If I live, says he, I will amend my life, I will do this, I will do that. Man, if you don't do the very opposite, if you don't send Moses with the law back to Mount Sinai and take the hand of Christ, pierced for your sins, you will never be saved. When the law drives you to the point of despair, let it drive you a little farther. Let it drive you straight into the arms of Jesus, who says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Verse 19, "Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made." The law is not to have its say indefinitely. We must know how long the law is to put in its licks. If it hammers away too long, no person would and could be saved. The law has a boundary beyond which it must not go. How long ought the law to hold sway? Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. That may be taken literally to mean until the time of the gospel. From the days of John the Baptist, says Jesus, until now the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Matthew 11, verses 12 and 13. When Christ came, the law and the ceremonies of Moses ceased. Spiritually, it means that the law is not to operate on a person after he has been humbled and frightened by the exposure of his sins and the wrath of God. We must then say to the law, "Mr. Law, lay off him. He has had enough. You scared him good and proper." Now it is the gospel's turn. Now let Christ, with his gracious lips, talk to him of better things: grace, peace, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. Verse 19, "And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." The apostle digresses a little from his immediate theme. Something occurred to him, and he throws it in by the way. It occurred to him that the law differs from the gospel in another respect, in respect to authorship. The law was delivered by the angels, but the gospel by the Lord himself. Hence, the gospel is superior to the law, as the word of a Lord is superior to the word of his servant. The law was handed down by a being even inferior to the angels, by a middleman named Moses. Paul wants us to understand that Christ is the mediator of a better testament than mediator Moses of the law. Moses led the people out of their tents to meet God, but they ran away. That is how good a mediator Moses was. Paul says, How can the law justify when that whole sanctified people of Israel and even mediator Moses trembled at the voice of God? What kind of righteousness do you call that when people run away from it and hate it the worst way? If the law could justify, people would love the law. But look at the children of Israel running away from it. The flight of the children of Israel from Mount Sinai indicates how people feel about the law. They don't like it. If this were the only argument to prove that salvation is not by the law, this one Bible history would do the work. What kind of righteousness is this law righteousness when, at the commencement exercises of the law, Moses and the scrubbed people run away from it so fast that an iron mountain, the Red Sea even, could not have stopped them until they were back in Egypt once again? If they could not hear the law, how could they ever hope to perform the law? If all the world had stood at the mountain, all the world would have hated the law and fled from it as the children of Israel did. The whole world is an enemy of the law. How then can anyone be justified by the law when everybody hates the law and its divine author? All this goes to show how little these scholastics know about the law. They do not consider its spiritual effect and purpose, which is not to justify or to pacify afflicted consciences, but to increase sin, to terrify the conscience, and to produce wrath. In their ignorance, the papists spout about man's goodwill and right judgment, and man's capacity to perform the law of God. Ask the people of Israel who were present at the presentation of the law on Mount Sinai whether what the scholastics say is true. Ask David, who often complains in the Psalms that he was cast away from God and in hell, that he was frantic about his sin and sick at the thought of the wrath and judgment of God. No, the law does not justify.